world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, it's Friday already. How the heck did that happen? 8/22/2025. Man, I'm 70. I think I'm 72. I don't check it every day. I think I'm 72. Where the heck did time go? Where does it go? And I was watching some of our little grannies running around yesterday. You know, the Bible says that grandchildren, the crown of an old man is his grandchildren. That's, boy, that is so true. And just kind of project back in my mind when I was that age, running around with my cousins, 8, 9, 10 years old, just running around, not a care in the world. And all of a sudden you wake up and you're 72 years old. How does that happen? And then I'm going to say this before I get too much further. But we're going to take communion. Our understanding, I'm talking about me now. Our understanding of the world is so shallow. It's so shallow. Can I tell you why? Michelle and I love my wife. We're cleaning up at Sky High yesterday. Sky High is a ministry center. And she got stung by a couple wasps. And so I've spent the last few days going around trying to get rid of wasp nests, about 10 of them outside, got rid of wasp nests. And it's funny, if you let your mind go, it works out pretty good. I thought, golly, how do wasps know to do what they do? How do wasps know to all gather and build that little house like they build them, lay their eggs in there, and then come out and attack? They're suicide bombers. And if we could somehow get into this, listen, I'm not crazy. If we could somehow get into that dimension and understand, how does one wasp teach another wasp to sting and go kill? Or is it just instinct? Is it just instinct? Where does instinct come from? Why are dogs naturally barkers? Why do all dogs bark at you when they say, what is that? What the heck is going on? And it's because I think we are so limited in our understanding. Time, space, matter, we get our environment, we get it. We understand how human beings operate and why they do some of the crazy things they do and the spiritual influences. Folks, what if this whole world is dimensional beyond what we can even understand? That the fish have a language, the birds have a language, the wasps have a language. How's that even possible without some type of creator? Somebody makes the whole thing. How do the wasps, because they get up in these places where it's dry and how do they know where to build a nest? And then after you come by and knock one down, they immediately try to build another one in the same spot. Evolution? Really? Evolution? Golly, the lies that they have told to us and told to our children. Can you imagine if we were to put our kids in school and they dove in and tried to discover or investigate all of these deep things? The mystery of life, the mystery of creation. What That was the focus of it, rather than programmed education. You learn this in the first grade, you learn this in the second grade, you learn this in the third grade, you learn this in the fourth grade, you learn this in the fifth grade. Programmed little mind-numbed robots, as Rush Limbaugh called them. Fascinating. I'm going to try to dive into some of that stuff here this morning. Golly, so much. Every day it's something different. I'm going to talk a little bit about Giants today if we get a chance to. Joe, I'll shut up. Appreciate you getting up here in the morning. Come on in and lead us with communion. Folks, remember this. Bible says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And as I said this before, my little Catholic training taught me that this becomes transubstantiation. And somehow the priest says some hocus pocus over it, and it actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus because the hocus pocus that he did. I'm sorry if that offends you. Is the hocus pocus of communion in the Catholic Church, is it any different than the communion that we have here? Can we take any bread and any wine and dedicate it to the Lord and have it become a representation? I think we can. So, Joe, appreciate you getting up every Friday morning. It's now 4 o'clock out on the West Coast. You get up every Friday morning to do this for you. I want you to know we appreciate it. And have at it.
Well, thank you, Coach. And it's, for me, it's kind of anchor. And that's also a good thing. So
yeah, labor of love. I get it. But still, hey, folks, we take so many people for granted. What they do, we take it. So our team at Jared and his team, I take them for granted. I always know Spencer's going to be here. I just take him for granted. I take Chad for granted and Dave Allison for granted. Randy, I take them all for granted. And I'm sorry that we do that, right? Appreciate all of you and all you do. And if I could have reached out and stroke every one of you on the back and tell you how much we love you and how important you are, I would do that, right? And I know you do it as a labor of love. And just want you to know that we appreciate it all. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm not sorry. That's a lie. I'm not sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, the reading today is John 10:9-18. I am the door.
Wow.
By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved.
So you got to go through Jesus. Would that be right, Joe? Is that what he's telling you?
Yes, sir.
It's the door. It's the only way you can get in. Okay, yes. Go ahead.
And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, and whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
Amen, Joe. I got to stop. Folks, I want you to, this is really, really important. We get new people in here all the time. I want you to go back up there, folks. One of the greatest lies that they've telling us. Bear with me, Joe. Spencer, go to the top.
Yep.
This is important. This is important, Joe. I wouldn't interrupt. The thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And they tell us that the devil's the thief. That devil comes to kill and steal and to destroy. And that's true. But folks, this verse here is not about the devil. Verse 12 says, pull it up a little bit, Spencer. But he that is a hireling, the false man standing in the pulpit is the thief. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming. There's the devil. You see that, friends? The thief sees the devil coming, and he leaves the sheep. He flees. Why? Because he didn't care for the sheep. They're not his. Joe, I wanted to get that in there so we understand, because we're going to talk a little bit about deception today and why it's important that we understand the truth. Thanks for letting me...
the hireling's sort of the inside man on the job, letting the wolf in the herd.
By the way, Joe, let me make this connection. James Dobson died. James Dobson was fired from the own organization he started because he let hirelings in. Maybe we'll get into that a bit, right? God bless James Dobson. He was destroyed by those who were not. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Coach. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with gratitude in our hearts for so many things. For each other here in the huddle, these brothers and sisters who've known each other a long time and some who are new, just making new friends and learning. We're all learning, Lord. And we're learning how to get along together, even though we have different backgrounds, different perspectives. Learning how to be one flock. Mm-hmm. And Lord, all of us here have things we're going to do this weekend. Some of us are traveling, some of us are not. We have family and friends we're going to be around. So we ask you to send your angels protection to protect us and guide us and guard us and keep us on our path. Keep us safe. And help us to at all times remember that we are your ambassadors, Lord. We're citizens of heaven. We're your ambassadors. And so should we encounter stress, let's not react the way we naturally would, but let's let Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us act and Amen. Take captive every thought and be true ambassadors of our Lord.
Amen.
True ambassadors. And we're grateful for our country, Lord, but it is in transition. And we're grateful that it is in transition because it needs to change. It needs to be cleaned up. It needs to be sanctified. And we're grateful that it's happening. Please wake up those who still can't see the truth. Wake them up and help them to seek you in these times of change and not fear, but you, Lord. And we ask that you forgive our sins and transgressions as we take this communion. For it is a holy act and bring us cleansed into your sight. We ask that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us so many years ago. And we ask that you remind us that this can be the meal that heals. So if any of us have anything in us, in our bodies, in our souls, in our spirits that need healing, any bruises, any brokenness, any illness, let us receive the healing now as we take this meal with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep us all safe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission. Oh, yeah, and yet he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Joe, thanks for your faithfulness to do it, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.
Yep. Amen.
Be safe.
Thanks, Joe.
Amen. Amen.
You're welcome, David Shaw.
Wow. Wow. All right, let's dive into it here. Huh? Let's dive into it. Pull up a first. Where do I start today, Lord? Where do I start? Where do I start? I'm talking to myself as I'm looking over here. And staking update. Let me throw that in there real quick. Anybody have a staking update? I pray that you're still doing it. Spencer, if you would, pull up for us Proverbs 22. And somebody's going to read Proverbs 22 for us. Who's going to do that so I can interrupt and editorialize as we go? Who's going to read that? Somebody come in and say, "I got it, Coach." Come on.
I can do it.
Good. Go, Betty.
A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold.
Wow. Wow.
The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil.
A prudent man does. A prudent man sees the evil. Go ahead.
But the simple pass on and are perished.
Wow.
By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth kept his soul shall be far from them.
Amen.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
We ought to just pause there for, how many of you have successfully done that?
About 6 hours, Coach.
What's that? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, we send them to the government school to train them up. Go ahead, Betty.
The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender.
Well, think of the debt that we have. And are you a servant to that or what? Does your mortgage own you? Or what? Does your credit card payment own you or what? Go ahead.
He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor.
Mm.
Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease.
Wow.
He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend.
Pureness of heart, wow.
The eyes of the Lord preserves knowledge, and he overthrows the words of the transgressor.
Thank you, Lord.
The lazy man. The slothful man says, "There's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets."
I can't go out there and work. Oh, my God. I can't do that good.
The mouth of strange women is a deep pit.
Ooh.
He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein.
Better be careful, boys and girls.
Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him.
How many of you wish you could go back and reparent? Anybody out there wish you could go back and do a little bit of reparenting? Wish I had that one over again.
He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want.
Wow, 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 wow.
Bow down thy ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thy heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee.
Amen.
Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge?
Yes, you have.
That I might make thee known the certainty of the words of truth.
Wow, he's going to give us the certainty of truth.
That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent unto thee.
Wow.
rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate.
Mm.
For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the souls of those that spoiled them.
Judgment's coming, baby.
Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts.
Wow, careful.
If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set.
Would that be the Ten Commandments in our schools? Would that be the Ten Commandments? Remove not the ancient landmarks which our fathers have set. I think so. I think so.
Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men.
That's Dale Socia right there. He's a diligent man in his business. Randy Lunsford is a diligent man in his business. Many of you are, folks. But you would agree with me, right? There's nothing worse than to deal with a horrible witness to deal with a Christian who cuts corners. Somebody say amen. Amen.
Amen.
We are Christians in our business dealings. We should go above reproach. There should be no question. If there's question on whether or not we've done a good job, then we need to go back and do it before we put our name into something. I was going to say half-assed, but that wouldn't be. Christians shouldn't do things half-assed. All right? Cool. All right.
Amen.
We do. We do a lot of half-assed stuff. Halfway. Why? Because we're part of the world. If I can do it cheaper, save $5 here, I can save $10 here. Yeah. Oh, they'll never notice. They'll never notice. I'll stuff a little bit of fake stuff in here. They'll never notice. Right? I'm going to tell you this. I know from experience that non-Christians who get ripped off by Christians are harder to win back than a war. You guys get what I just said to you? Call yourself a Christian and then go out and rip people off for $5 or $10 or $15 on, and they know about it. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. That does great damage. How do I get on it? Let's move on here. Let's go 2A. No, stop a minute. I want to say this, and then I got something I could throw up there about the death of Dr. James Dobson. Thank God for Dr. James Dobson. Focus on the family. I'm not critical of him. Please don't take this the wrong way. Thank God that he built that powerful, powerful organization. But you guys know this, right? You know that they undermined him. You know that James Dobson was fired from the organization that he started. The Bible warns us about infiltration. Didn't John F. Kennedy warn us about infiltration rather than invasion? But you better be careful who's sitting at your plate, who you put on your elder board. Do they have a different agenda? And here's what I think. I'm not being critical, James Dobson. You are what you are, right? You are, your nature is what it is. James Dobson, in his time 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we started Focus on the Family. The world was not as harsh. I mean, it always was, but it wasn't really. And James Dobson played nice. He played nice. Because he played nice, he was undermined from within. Sometimes the hardest things to do is to stand up to those who are in your inner circle and say, no, that's wrong. We're not going to do that. No. And you better be very, very careful who you surround yourself with and who you trust and put confidence in. You better have the same vision. And James Dobson, I could run down a list. In fact, I got an article. I'm not going to go there. I could run down a list of people that came alongside James Dobson and destroyed Focus on the Family. Destroyed it. Really did. And if Focus on the Family and James Dobson, I'm not blaming James Dobson. If they went hardcore God hates homosexuality rather than God loves the homosexual. Do you understand the difference in those two fights, friends? Do you understand the difference in those two fights? James Dobson, trying to rescue the family, was not allowed to have mean tweets. There weren't even tweets back then. He wasn't allowed to say mean things about homosexuality. He was Mr. What's the word I would look? Mr. Diplomat. Diplomat. And he got undermined by those. Did you know the Focus on the Family was one of the greatest promoters of Mitt Romney for President of the United States? Mitt Romney, a Mormon, Focus on the Family, supporting Mitt Romney, a Mormon, for President of the United States. The undermining of James Dobson wasn't him. It was a board around him, yada, 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 yada. And then what happens? They end up firing him from that position. So just be aware. I learned this a long time ago. In order for someone to be able to betray you, they have to be close to you. It's not betrayal for some guy down the street says something bad about me. I ask, if I find out Randy's saying bad things about me, or I find out Chad's saying bad things about me, I find out Betty's saying bad things about me, and I don't know it. That's wicked, folks. It's wicked. And that's what happened to James Dobson. He got undermined by political forces who came. I can name names. In fact, there's a Spencer, pull it up there. Now put it in the chat so you can do your own. It's a legacy email, Spencer. See if you can find that. There it is. And I don't know how you put this in the chat, but it spells out exactly what happened to James Dobson. Tom Minery and well, it's all there, man. It's all there. And I don't know how you capture that link and put it in there, but it's a warning to all of us, folks. Look, by the way, go there. I'm part of this email. Go back up the top. I don't know how that happened. You talk about names. Look at the people. Those people are movers and shakers. And Coach Dave's right in the middle of it. Comes from John Haskins. I know John and John. Anyway, I'm going to move on. My warning to you is you better be careful who's sitting at your table. All right. Focus on the Family. When the homosexual monster began to rear its ugly head, James Dobson was too nice. And why was he too nice? Well, partly maybe that was his nature, but because of who he surrounded himself with. If I'm going to go to war, I want warriors beside me, not compromisers. Not everybody that you know is a frontline warrior. Don't take a coward to the front lines with you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Coach.
And I just know it to be so true.
Boom.
And I grieve that Focus on the Family, when we needed them the most. James Dobson was telling us about it for 20 years, 25 years, and when we needed it the most, they booted him out. And why did they boot him out? My opinion, I don't know. Because he was nicer than Jesus. Nicer than Jesus. Okay, that's it. That's it on James Dobson. I wanted to throw that one in there. Pull this one up real quick. Pull up Alan Jackson. This is a pretty good one. I don't know if you guys know Alan Jackson. Thanks, Tom Stutzman, for sending it to me. Number 7, Spence. Okay, I don't listen to Alan Jackson. There's too many people to listen to. I'm not great. I don't know much about him, but you tell me. Vinny, get that boom machine. Get that boom machine ready. Okay, Vinny? Go ahead.
If you're imagining that the rapture is your get-out-of-jail-free card and you don't have to pay any attention to current events and cultural trends because you're going to get raptured out of this and it's not your problem, you're deceived. Why on earth would Jesus give us the teaching if the only people listening to his teaching didn't need it. The pagans aren't combing the pages of Scripture to find out what Jesus said about the end of the age. I'm not interested in this session in having a debate on eschatology and my timeline. I don't have a chart, but I do think we ought to pay attention to Jesus' words. If you're imagining that the rapture...
Okay, so Spencer, pull up 2A. 2A. Because we're supposed to occupy till he comes. We're supposed to. We're supposed to go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This is Luke 21, 8 through 38. Jesus Christ speaking. He said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, don't be afraid. For these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Whoa. What's the difference in those two things? Nation against nation and kingdom against great kingdom. And there shall be great earthquakes in diverse places and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Think about this a minute. When Jesus was teaching this to his disciples, most of them had never even left their city. They had no idea Africa existed, North America existed, had no idea when they talk about going to all the world. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall be there from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to their synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Time out a minute. How long ago was this written? 2,000 years ago? 2,000? Yeah. Yeah. And it shall turn what? Shall return you into a testimony. Settle in your hearts, therefore, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you're going to be betrayed by parents, and brothers, and kinsfolk, and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Your best life now, Joel Osteen will tell us. And you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. There's not going to be a hair of your head perish. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Hold on to who you are. And when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries thereinto, enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. When was this written, by the way? Somebody help me out. This was written in 1948. But woe unto them that are with child, unto them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem be trodden down to the Gentiles, that the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. When would that be, I wonder? And their signs... There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations, perplexity of the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven and earth shall be shaken. And then shall they see. When the powers of earth are shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spoke to him a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you shall know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. By the way, I believe his kingdom's already come. Verily I say unto you, this generation I'm speaking to, this generation shall not pass away till all these things shall be fulfilled. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, they're not going to pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day cometh upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. And in that day, he was teaching the temple. And the night he went out and abode in the moment that was called Mountain. And all the people came early in the morning to hear in the temple, to hear him. Wow, 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 wow. Okay, I'm going to make a real quick turn on you here, okay? Real quick turn. I was talking about those wasps. The wasps are really like in another dimension, aren't they? Aren't they like in another dimension? Can the wasps communicate with us? No. Can we communicate with the dogs? Well, sort of, but not really. Do the dogs communicate with each other? Yeah, they do. Yeah. The animal world, they all have a form of... See, what the point I'm trying to make is this dimensional thing that we're in is so much broader than what we've been taught. It's so stinking broad. Heaven, creation... Unbelievable. I want to introduce you to something here. Pull up number 4 real quick for me. I know this is open phone for past 7:36. Wow. Pull up number. No, don't do that. It takes too long. Pull up number 6. How many of you have ever in your church heard a sermon on the Nephilim? On the giants? You ever heard one? Now, you come in here, you might hear about it here. So, real quick, Spencer, real quickly. You're Johnny on the spot. Genesis 6. Pull up Genesis 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Who would that be? That would be angels, wouldn't it? And they took them wives of all which they chose. And it made the Lord mad that he did that. And there were giants in the earth in those days. We know the story of David and Goliath, right? But we don't make a connection. Giants in the earth in those days and also after. And when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bare children to them, that same man became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Giants. Women having sex with angels creating giants. That's what it says. That's what it says. Giants in the earth in those days. And also after that. Pull up by number 5. No, number 6. I'm sorry, I told you number 6. What percentage of American Christians have ever heard anything on the interdimensional giants, do you think? Ever heard one in your church? And here I sit, according to L.A. Marzulli, my buddy L.A. Marzulli. I said, Nephilim Central. Quickly, Spencer, sorry. Got to educate some people who've never heard any of this stuff. Look up Nephilim. Google Nephilim so people understand what we're talking about here. I didn't even know how to say the word when I first heard it. Nephilim. The Nephilim were a group of beings mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, known for their unusual size, strength, or as men of renown. Their identity is debated by scholars with different interpretations, including offspring of angelic beings and humans, or the descendants of Cain, or simply giants existing before any specific union occurred. Did you know that the word Hebrew word Nephilim is sometimes translated as giants, though the exact meaning is debated? Origins, all down there, folks. Oh, and we don't know anything about this in... If you can, Spencer, copy and paste that into the chat. Where am I here? Where am I? Go to 6, play 6. Folks, this is mainstream podcasting. This ain't Christian TV, Christian radio. Go ahead. It's 13 minutes. I'm going to play a little bit of it and then put it in the chat. Go ahead.
saying the Smithsonian hides evidence of giants?
The story is always the same. This guy's desecrating a Native American burial mound, finds these giant bones, calls the Smithsonian. They take the bones, they go back, and then it disappears.
This all came from biblical stuff, though, correct?
Maybe like 20 years ago, someone discovered these giant coffins with lids on them. They were sent to the Smithsonian.
Was there anything in the coffin?
Someone asked the Smithsonian about them, and they said, we do have record of receiving that, but we don't know where they are.
Let's dive into the giants.
Okay, good. We'll lighten it up. Giants are in every culture's history. Every culture's got giants mentioned. Ancient Indian Vedas, Native Americans, Island of Malta, East Asian. Every culture has giants. And the Bible, of course. Epic of Gilgamesh. So giants show up all through our culture. And whenever I see that, you know, a lot of what I do is just pattern recognition. Like, I wasn't even really a flood myth guy until I started doing my show. And it's like, this flood story keeps showing up over and over, no matter what I'm talking about. The flood myth shows up, and it's always showing up at the same time as, like, the end of the Younger Dryas. Like, these things, it's just the same pattern over and over. Maybe it's a coincidence, but if one culture has a story about a flood, then they have a story. If two cultures have it, it could be a coincidence. But if you get 40 or 300, then maybe there's something to it. Maybe it really happened. So,
okay, stop. Put it in the chat.
So I'm pretty sure that...
Folks, look, you do what you want to. I'm not going to spend 13 minutes watching this. Put it in the chat. You ought to watch it. Okay? You ought to watch it. Because I'm going to tell you, 90% of the Christians that you hang out with, go to church with, ain't never heard nothing about the Nephilim. Now, I'm going to give you another website. Hey, folks, Bible says men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. Return of the Nephilim? Some 8-footer, some 10-footer, maybe some 30-footer comes walking down the street. Think men's hearts are going to fail them for fear? Why are we not taught this stuff in our church? Why are we not to have a clear discussion in our churches, whether it's true, whether it's not true? When's the last time you heard Benny Hinn talk about it, or Joel Osteen, or whoever ever talk about it? And something so great is about to happen that our hearts are going to fail us for fear. By the way, is this before or after the rapture? So I want to introduce, I'm going to open it up here in a second, okay? I want to introduce you to Fritz Zimmerman. Some of you know who he is, number 5, pulled up. I'm sorry if you don't have Facebook. Fritz Zimmerman, I'll get him back on the show. I've had him on before. Spencer, click right on over here on the left. It says Amazon. Amazon, that right there, right beside there. Okay, folks, you want to know more about it? Go to Amazon and buy the Nephilim Chronicles, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley. Fritz Zimmerman. So it's, folks, this stuff is undeniable and unbelievable. Nephilim Chronicles, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley. That'd be here. That'd be right where I live. Go back. They told us they were mound builders. Remember, they were mound builders. Mound builders. Look down, number 2. Just scroll down here. Just scroll down. Stop. Fritz Zimmerman, 22 hours ago. Under a mound at Chillicothe, that's kind of southern, central southern Ohio, a skeleton was discovered of a very tall woman who died young. And at her feet lay the bones of a child. This is 1911. And the bones went to the Smithsonian, never to be heard from again. Scroll on down. This is Fritz's Facebook page. The Nephilim Chronicles, the Allegheny Mountains, the Appalachia. The etymology of the word Allegheny is for the Algonquin Indians, and it means a high place. Og, king of the giants. Did you know that? King of the giants, Allegheny, king of the giants. Scroll down. Ooh, what's this? August 20th, skull of a man left and a woman antedating the Indians inhabiting Florida. At the right is a skeleton of a young woman, 6 feet tall and a massive build belonging to the mystery. There it is. Actual stuff that we have. We've seen. Go to the next one. 1811. Two humans were found in a cave in Warren County, Tennessee. The hair of the mummies was still remaining upon the heads and was a yellow cast and very fine texture. Boom, there's David and Goliath. Go on, one more. Let's go, one more. I'm going to shut up and open it up. General Clark declares that Kentucky, in the language of the Indians, signifies the river of blood. Kentucky, to the Indian, was a land of ill repute. Ancient America. One more going down. You pastor in passing this out? How about that? How about right here where old Coach Dave lives? The old forts had not been built by Indians, but had come down from a long, very long ago people who were a white complexion and skilled in the arts. Newark, Ohio's advanced mathematics scoring the circle. Folks, unbelievable. Okay. Put that in the chat. Put that in the chat. Why? Somebody help me out here real quick. I only got 15 minutes. Why are God's people destroyed, or how are God's people destroyed? That's a question. The Bible tells us, how are God's people destroyed?
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. Why don't we know this stuff? Why don't we know this? Hey, folks, can you imagine the interest in the modern America today if our preachers and our churches began to talk again about the giants and they're coming back? Men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. It would be like a, wow, would that ever be exciting? I'm going to go to church on Sunday and I'm going to find out about the giants and they're coming back. No, no. Our churches have become self-help. Self-help. Because why? We're not going to be here for it. We're not. We'll be at it. We won't be here. Okay. Somebody better come in or I'm going to keep rattling on. Somebody come on in.
You're doing good.
I know I'm doing good. Johnny, come on in.
Is it a lack of belief, maybe?
Well, Johnny, you can't believe what you don't know. You can't believe what nobody's ever taught you. What do you do with Genesis 6? What do you do with Genesis 6?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I mean, if we're to believe the word of God, and that's the manual, aren't we to believe all of it?
Well, Johnny, if you were to go and ask your pastor about Genesis 6 giants, does anybody know what he would probably say? Does anybody know what he would probably say?
Sons of Seth.
Yeah. He would brush it off as something. And folks, we better understand what we just read. That those dudes are coming back, and men's hearts going to fail them for fear.
Figurative giants.
Say it again, brother.
Figurative giants.
Yeah, they say they're figurative.
Like the big, tall basketball players, they would refer to them as quote giant.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't believe it. They won't believe it.
They won't believe it, folks.
So we just pick and choose what we want to believe.
Well, we pick and choose. That's not right. They pick and choose what they're going to teach us. Right? Nobody can really explain it. They say, I can't build a church talking about the giants. Well, maybe you can't. Are you trying to build a church? Or are you trying to wake people up? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Joe, come on in, Joe.
A lot of the history of this world and the great wonders have been destroyed because of fear.
Well, Joe, part of it's fear, but part of it's control.
Yeah.
Part of it's control, right?
Amen.
Here's a question I want to ask you. From what I've just read here, somebody help me out here. Are the giants coming before or after the rapture? I'm asking the question. I'm not taking a position. I'm asking you, do you know? Do you know? Hey, Spencer, pull up I love this stuff. Mud Fossil University. Pull that up if you can. Mud Fossil University. Wow, wow, wow. Going up. There it is. Welcome. Hang back. Wait, you went by it, didn't you? There it is right there. Mud Fossil. Yeah, hang on. Back. Go back. Yeah. Yeah, it's a website. Mud Fossil University. And they're going to show you, folks, all of these evidences of giants everywhere we look. Well, now, you're going to think I'm crazy, right?
And YouTube channel.
It's a YouTube channel.
Also.
Huh? And it shows you that some of these things that we are just think are just, I don't know if you can take it. I don't know if you can take it or not. But some of the mountains ranges are the bodies, structures of fallen giants. Why are we ignoring this? Why is the church ignoring it? Mud Fossil University. There it is. Just play that. Just play one little segment of Mud Fossil University. Go ahead.
The sandstone. Okay, my friends, as you can see, we have some new types of feet, some in a highly eroded condition, some literally turned to sandstone, some turned to mudstone. And this is extreme amounts of blood coming down to the artery. This one also has that. You may be able to make out a big bone here and a bone here. There's a bone on this one right there, which is the artibia, and the fibula went here and broke right off. So this is pretty close to human. This is a little different. I don't know. And then we have spring foot ones, or which are completely different. So this is all new species. We need to get them tested for DNA and see what it's all about.
Okay, so Mud Fossil University, folks, men's hearts failing them. Okay, go down one more. Go down one more. Go to first one of the next one. Next one down, Spence. Next one down, right there. Click on that.
Okay, my good friends, it's Roger, Mud Fossil University, again with a special request from a good friend, Aaron Hartman, over at Age of
Eat It Up
Disclosure, and Time to Reveal the Giants, I believe. Now, I help Aaron and comment on things for him now and then, because I do the chemistry part, and I have Mud Fossil University. It was written about. Now, Don, you see all the blood flowing down. That's the part where I showed you before how the different types of muscle is darker here and separated and so forth. Now, there's the other foot. There's blood blowing out of that one. There's blood blowing out here. It's just...
Hey, Coach, I never heard anything like this in my life. I know. Go ahead, scroll a little bit farther. What else do we have? More pictures. Keep going. I want to see more pictures, Spence. There was. Oh, what's that? Mud Fossil University. Mud Fossil buried in the flood, maybe. Giants buried in the flood. Betty, come on in. Hang on. You guys think I'm nuts? You think I'm nuts? There's so much that has been hidden from us that we don't understand. Betty, if some 20-footer came walking down your driveway, would your heart fail you for fear? I don't know about you. Mine would. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been looking at different pictures of islands that are human-formed, and there's even a couple of islands that are called elephant islands. They're actually huge, huge elephants.
Mud Fossil University will show you all that. They'll show you all that. Hey, Chad, where did you guys go? What's that place down in Texas that you guys went to? Come on, man, help me out here.
The Guadalupe Peak.
Guadalupe Peak. What was neat about that, Chad?
That's the highest point in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The high ground.
Jim Harrison just asked a great question. What was the purpose of the flood? What was the purpose of the flood? What was the purpose of the flood? Why don't we know this? Why don't Christians know this?
We know it, Coach. It's the rest of the world that don't know it.
Why don't we? Because you start talking about it, they think you could. I live in L.A. Pull up L.A. Marzulli's website real quick. I don't know how I got on this real quickly. L.A. Marzulli has told me a number of times, Coach Dave, you live in Nephilim Central. You live in Nephilim Central. And if you go to his website, it's all about the giants. And all around here, and all this area that we are, the burial grounds, all of that, right here. We don't even talk about it. Pastor Clint, come on in quickly. I'm sorry, I've taken up some. I don't know why I got all these products up there, L.A. Get that off there, L.A. Get down to the good stuff.
You know, the Bible says that the second coming will be like the days of Noah. And, you know, you always think, well, in the days of Noah, they said that people was doing evil continually. But I do believe that's true. But I also believe that the giants will make a return, because in the days of Noah, there were giants.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, right?
Yep.
Now, Clint, the question we'd all ask ourselves, are we raptured out of here before all this happens? Rochelle, come on in.
I just wanted to point out that as Christians, if we don't honestly, full-heartedly believe this giant story, there is no excuse for the flood. How can we possibly defend the Bible and what's written in there and the reason for destroying the planet if it wasn't a great act of mercy by our Creator? And we will lose every single debate if we don't understand this. It's that simple.
It's that simple, and we don't even talk about it, right? You're a conspiracy theorist if you do it. Judah, hurry up. We're running out of time. Come on in, Judah.
No, Coach, you're spot on. And as the people that are coming to this understanding, it's because they're starting to understand the hidden knowledge, the hidden secret, that the Masons. If you do not understand that the Freemasons and the Schofield Bible made a conscious decision to hide books of the Bible, other books of the Bible, and to hide this information for their control. And once anyone understands that, grasps that concept, they then should realize, hark, I should seek more.
Amen. Hey, dudes, huh? Why did all those things disappear at the Smithsonian? Why did it disappear? Joe Carrico, come on in, Joe.
Thank you, Coach. One thing we should remember is that as of the days of Noah, there wasn't rapture. The bad were removed from the earth.
Joe, don't start a fight now.
And Enoch said in the book of Enoch that far in the future there'll be a great taking away of evil. And I met Brian Simmons, who translates the Passion translation. And he said he doesn't want to be taken away. He wants to remain as in the days of Noah. Just food for thought.
Can you imagine, folks? Can you imagine how this would light up Christianity with young people in particular if we started talking about this stuff? Have any of you ever been to a church where this was a sermon? And there, go to Mud Fossil University, go to Fritz Zimmerman, go to L.A. Marzulli. The evidence is everywhere, and we act like it's not there. Michelle, quickly. Got just a couple minutes here.
Just wanted to also point out when they're talking about as in the days of Noah, and they were giving in marriage, okay? They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. I just want to point out that this could be where the Watchers offered humans advanced technology, knowledge, and every single thing that we didn't need. How to make war, I could go into it. However, I think in the beginning it was an actual trade. I think that the women wanted to be the mothers of these giants. Okay. This was an honor, and the fathers gave away their daughters for that knowledge and prestige. And then you've got the mighty men of old running the planet still to this day.
Michelle, I want to figure out this. I would like to see the picture of a 20-foot man having sex with a 5'6" woman. I'd pay to see that. Judah, come on in.
Hey, Coach, as you know, I spent over a decade working in the personal security of a local pastor that you may know. But what's interesting or factual is one morning I came in, and as I was studying and reading, I asked him about these other books of the Bible. And immediately he smacked it down. And I asked about the Nephilim. Immediately he smacked it down. You know what's fascinating? The following week, from stage, he came in wearing a Star Trek uniform and wanted to talk about the stars while his kids danced on stage in NASA coats.
Oh, my goodness.
People don't understand that. That was such a reveal to me as to the mindset that some of these people that we're dealing with that is rampant throughout the Oral Roberts Ministries.
And so, it's more than that, right? Remember this, folks. Here's all I got 12 seconds. Here's what you and I are prisoners of those who are teaching us history. We're prisoners of them. Everything you know, someone else taught you. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.